Will you bow with me as I say a prayer with offering? Lord, we come to you this day, this beautiful day. We thank you for all the blessings you give us. We ask that you will give us blessing over the money that we receive. I ask that you'll bless the people that give it. I pray these things, Lord, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Welcome all of you to the house of the Lord this morning. We got a beautiful day today. I need to introduce everybody that's up here. Farron Brookers can bring the benediction, and Larry Ellis is, or Jared is going to talk first, and then Larry, our bulletin's turned around here, so I think everybody knows him. And Larry, Alice and Jared, and Ben Adams, and I'm Fred Stewart. For scripture this morning, this has always been my favorite scripture, of course, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then I want to read Mark. Mark 12. This is familiar to all of you too, I think. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So, turn our hymns to 508. Shall we stand?
Would you bow with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day and the wonderful sunshine of your warmth. And we ask you to watch over us this hour as these two men bring us your word. And be with them and calm their spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think you all know Jared is here. Yeah, I'll introduce you here. It's Jared.
Morning. I'm a little bit nervous standing in front of you today. So if you'll bear with me, I'll try to give you a sermon of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be here with my father today. I guess if I'm short-winded speaker, he won't mind taking up the rest of my time. Whenever I was of pre-baptismal age, I know some of you were thinking that wasn't very long ago. My mom taught this class, and it was called the Build My Church. And it's like the go ye and teach lessons that they use in cottage meetings. And most of the things that she taught were about the Doctrine and Covenants, the Book of Mormon, and the Bible. And another thing she taught about was the six principles. And one of the first things we learned about the church were the six principles and of the gospel. So I thought I would talk about these this morning. The first principle is faith. In your scriptures, if you would like to follow along, I will be reading from Doctrine and Covenants 34:1b. Doctrine and Covenants 34:1b is, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified for the sins of the world. Even as many as will believe on my name, that they may become the Son of God, even one in me as I am in the Father, as the Father is one in me, that we may be one. Now if you'll turn to me to Doctrine and Covenants 49:2g. Doctrine and Covenants 49:2g. Believe on my name of the Lord Jesus, who was on the earth and is to come, the beginning and the end. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the holy commandments for the remission of sins. Next, if you'll turn with me to John 3:16, this is a common verse, and as we know, it's Fred's favorite. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next, would you turn with me to Mormon 3:27. Know ye that ye must come to the knowledge of your fathers and repent of all your sins and iniquities, and believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he was slain by the Jews, and by the power of the Father he hath risen again, whereby he hath gained the victory over the grave, and also in him, and the sting of death swallowed up. The words in each of these scriptures that shows us how we have faith is to believe in the Son of God, the creator of the world. Another thing that my mom taught us in Sunday school class was a sort of trust fall. What she would do was she would stand behind us. She would ask us questions like, "Do you see me?" We would say no. And then she would ask us, "Can you hear me?" We would say yes. And then she asked us, "Do you believe that I would catch you?" We would say yes. And if we were to fall back without stepping back, we would have been believing that she would have caught us. But if we would have stepped back and she wouldn't have and thought she wouldn't have caught us, we wouldn't have faith. This is what she taught us we wouldn't have wavering faith. If we are going to build the kingdom of God, we have to have faith in him to do his will and keep all of his commandments. Which brings us to repentance. Now if you'll turn with me to Alma 3:56-57. Alma 3:56-57. Yea, even who unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God has spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men for the arms of mercy, and are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. In this scripture, it's meaning there is a promise. The promise is if you repent in your life, his arms of mercy will extend towards you, and God will take you in, and he will forever love you. And next scripture I'll be reading from is 2 Nephi 6:48-50. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. In this scripture, there is another promise. It says, if you don't repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. There is a lot there's a lot more harsh promise, but nevertheless, the truth spoken from God. Now I'll be reading from Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now if you'll turn with me to Luke 3:23. Luke 3:23. John answered, saying unto all, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one mightier than I, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John has the authority to baptize because he was a priest, but he had no authority to give the Holy Spirit to people. He had the baptized authority was given to the Melchizedek priesthood to bestow the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had the Melchizedek authority to give the gift of the Holy Spirit. That I recall in that in primary Sunday school class, we learned the priesthood members about the of the in primary Sunday school class, we had to learn the Melchizedek and Aaronic priesthood offices, in which Melchizedek priesthood, they are prophets, apostles, 70s evangelists, patriarchs, bishops, high priests, and elders. These are the ones that lay the spirit of remission of sins by fire. The Aaronic priesthood are priests, teachers, and deacons. And laying on of hands pertains to order ordinances of the church also, such as blessings of babies, healing of the sick, patriarchal blessings, casting of evil spirits, and ordination of priests, men to priesthood. Next two principles are the next two principles are resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, if you'll turn with me to section 76. In section 76, verse 5. And again we bear record, for we saw and heard, and this is the testimony of the gospel of Christ concerning them who come forth in the resurrection of the just. They are they who receive the testimony of Jesus and believe on his name, and were baptized after the manner of his burial, being buried in the water of his name, and this according to the commandment by which he has given that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and clean from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto the power and who overcome by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father shed forth upon all those who are just and true. They are they who the church of the firstborn, they are they into whose hands the Father has given all things. They are they who are priests and kings, who have received the fullness and of his glory, and are priests of the Most High, after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. Wherefore, as it is written, they are gods, even the sons of God. Wherefore, all things are theirs, whether life or death, or things present or things to come, all are theirs, and they are Christ's, and Christ is God, and they shall overcome all things. Wherefore, let no man glory in man, but rather let him glory in God, who shall subdue all enemies under his feet. These shall dwell in the presence of God and his Christ for ever and ever. These are they who he shall bring with him when he shall come into the clouds of heaven. They reign on earth and over his people. These are they who shall have part in the first resurrection. These are they who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. These are they who are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly place and the holiest of all. These are they who have come to an admirable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of Enoch and the firstborn. These are they whose names are written in the heaven, in heaven, where God and Christ are the judge of all. These are they who are just men, having just men made perfect through Jesus and the mediator of the covenant, who brought out this perfect atonement through the shedding of his own blood. These are they whose bodies are celestial, whose glory is that of the Son, even the glory of God, the highest of all, whose glory the Son of the first firmament is written as being typical. The scripture verses continues on to terrestrial and celestial glory, but I will let you read that if you so desire. Our God is a just God, and our judgment will be fair. Our purpose is to strive for celestial glory, to walk the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. We have to endure to the end. We have to have hope, charity, and love of God and all men. We have to study and pray and preach the gospel to all men and strive to build the kingdom of God and earth so we can see Jesus our Savior. Thank you.
Good morning. I rejoice in the fact that I am able to share this time with my son this day. It's humbling, and it's, well, you're going to have to bear with me today. Due to the course of events throughout the last couple weeks and whatnot, the things that I'll bring today won't necessarily reflect what I have prepared. We started out with the topic of working towards Zion, or working out for the cause of Zion. And I'd like to read from the Doctrine and Covenants 85:21b and c. That's section 85:21b and c. And I give unto you a commandment, that you shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory and principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God. That is expedient for you to understand of things both in heaven and in earth, and under the earth, things which have been seen, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass. This is a commandment that has been given to us to study all things. Sometimes we are told to do things, and like a little child, we tell them not to touch that hot stove. But what is one of the first things that they do? They touch the hot stove. They have to see for themselves. We are, and throughout our growing up, we have many experiences, and we learn many things. And we try to pass them on to our children. In doing so, they don't listen to our wisdom sometimes. They have to learn these things for themselves. Hopefully it's not for a case that of something that is drastic, that would be devastating to their lives. But if we do all things with God in mind, even if they mess up or have a hard time, if they're doing it with God in mind, He will work that to the good. Over the last few weeks at work, I've had the privilege of being able to train some new people into the profession of carrying mail. And it's a job that that I know that I can do. And people coming in, they don't know what to do, and they're a little timid, and they get placed in situations of, can I do this? Such as Jared preparing for this sermon that he gave already. We have to have patience with these people. If we know something that others don't, we have to have patience. We might have had a hard time getting to the point of where we were at and in our understanding of how to do things. And knowing that, and having that in our mind, that we know that where we were at, that we need to be understanding and have patience with them, so that they might not be discouraged, so that they might be willing to go on and to try to do those things which they have a desire to do, such as in going out into the community here. Many of us have never really witnessed to people. It's new ground. It's new area. It's a new place for some of us. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And that's where we are given the tools, the training to try to know what to say to people and to try to answer their questions. It's not an easy task. As with one of the girls that went with me, she was very honest with me. And in my job, I let her go on her own without me watching over her to go and deliver some of the addresses on a loop. And she was honest with me in saying, and I asked her, you know, how did you feel? You know, how was it, you know, going out on your own? And she said, I was a little scared. And that's the way we are. We are a little scared sometimes. It's just that we have to work through it by continually doing it. If we make mistakes, that's another thing. When I told them to go on this loop and to do it, I reassured them, you know, take your time. You don't have to hurry. This isn't a race. Just take your time. You know, I'll probably be able to do, you know, I'll be going on another loop and doing some other things, but I'll probably be done before you, but just take your time, and if you have any mistakes, we'll correct them. And that's the way it is for us in teaching the gospel and teaching one another. We need to be able to have the patience to teach. She asked me also several times over, well, you must be getting very impatient with me. And I said, no. And I truly was not impatient with anything, because I knew where she was coming from and what she was looking at. It's all a job that you have to coordinate things. You have to see what works for you. As it is in the gospel, we have to see what works for us in expressing ourselves to those that we come in contact with, and to bringing the message of Jesus Christ unto them. God has given us tools. He has given us the scriptures. It's a roadmap. It shows in the course of history of where man has been, where man is, and where man is going to be. He has faith in us. He says that his work will not be frustrated. He knows that we will learn, that we will come unto him, and we will follow his laws and his commandments. The scriptures also show the trouble or the struggle that man has had throughout history to get to know him, to get to know God. I believe that in some ways that some of us have become lethargic into the way of thinking of Zion. We know that it's something that we should have, and we know that it's something that we need to know more about, and we know that we need to be doing more things. But in knowing all this, what do? Some do things more than others in working towards that cause, but that's because they're in a different plane, they're a different level. And that's what we're all working towards, a higher level. We're all working towards the celestial kingdom. In Romans 10, 2. That's Romans 10, 2. Paul writes, "They all have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." As in Paul's time, they were lacking in knowledge, as many of us are lacking today in the knowledge of God. And it is up to us to expound that knowledge and to bring that knowledge to our fellow man, that they may learn and that they may have the opportunity to be able to come unto Christ. In us working towards the kingdom of God, I guess at this time I'd like to liken basically the piano to the church. The piano, it has many different keys. Each key has a different purpose or a different talent, a different sound. As in the church, we have many different offices. Some of these offices we are ordained to, but one of the most important offices is being baptized a member. Each and every one of us as members are important, for it is through us, in our contact with the community, with the people around us, with the people that we work with, it is through us that people see how we are and who we represent. We are peculiar people. We are different than most. This kind of brings to mind when I was working for a sheet metal shop one time. One of the guys that I was working with came up to me and says, "You know, you're different. I noticed that you don't cuss and you don't swear in different situations." And that impressed him, that I did not do that, that to get my point across, I could get my point across other ways other than swearing or cursing. And he said, "I'm going to have to try to work on doing that too." So in all things that we do, all places, we are a witness. We represent Jesus Christ as being members of this church. If you're a member, you don't have to wait for the priesthood to show up. You can witness unto the people. If you are given something to say unto someone, getting back to the piano, some keys may be used more than others, but that doesn't make them any less important. For when they are placed in the hands of the master, beautiful music is played, as in, we all work together, we all give ourselves to the Lord, we all perform. And become alive in Christ. As in the church, when we place our lives in God's hands and we do His work, we become alive and we are blessed. When we are considering Zion, there are some things that we need to ask ourselves. One would be, do we love God with all of our heart, mind, might, and strength? Are we really committed to wanting to have Zion? Do we really want to have Zion? Are we willing to obey the laws and the commandments that God has given unto us? God has not and will not give us anything that He knows that we cannot achieve. In one respect, I'm going to kind of liken God's laws and commandments onto the food pyramid, which the food pyramid is part of the word of wisdom, and it's healthy for us. All things that are within the food pyramid are healthy for us. As in the scriptures, the laws and the commandments, they are healthy for us, for our physical and for our spiritual needs. If we were to go to a store and all they had was the food pyramid foods, all your healthy foods, your milk, your meats, your breads, your cereals, all of those things, would you be tempted still to go to the store that had everything else, all your processed foods, so forth, to contain or to keep your health up? Would you do that? In our lives, we do that. We go to the scriptures and we know that they are good, but then there's things out in the world that we say, well, that looks like fun. Maybe I'll give that a try for a little while. Or take bad advice from someone. Or do things that someone else has persuaded us to do, or that we have convinced ourselves to do. The The only reason that I can think that the laws and commandments that have been given us are impossible to us to achieve, or that we feel that makes this impossible for us to achieve, is that we like doing things of the world, and we don't want to give them up. When is it that we will realize of what God has done for us? He gave us a chance for salvation. He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, and He died for our sins. He died for you and me, that we might have a chance to be in His Father's kingdom, to be in the celestial kingdom. How great would that be, to be a part of God's kingdom? We can't even comprehend or imagine what that is like to the fullest. Even least of the kingdoms is greater than what we have here upon this earth. So just imagine what it would be like in the celestial kingdom. At this time, I'd like to read from section 85, starting with 1A. That's section 85, 1A. Verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, who have assembled yourselves together to receive His will concerning you. Behold, this is pleasing unto your Lord, and the angels rejoice over you. The alms of your prayers have come up unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, and are recorded in the book of the names of the sanctified, even them of the celestial world. Wherefore, I now send upon you another Comforter, even upon you, my friends, that it may abide in your hearts, even the Holy Spirit of promise, which other Comforter is the same that I promised unto my disciples, as is recorded in the testimony of John. This Comforter is the promise which I give unto you of eternal life, even the glory of the celestial kingdom, which glory is that of the church of the firstborn, even of God, the holiest of all, through Jesus Christ, His Son. He that ascendeth up on high, as also He descendeth below all things, in that He comprehendeth all things, that He might be in all things and through all things the light of truth, which truth shineth. This is the light of Christ. As also he is in the Son, and the light of the Son, and the power thereof by which it was made. As also he is in the moon, and is the light of the moon, and the power thereof by which it was made. He also, the light of the stars, and the power thereof by which they were made. And the earth also, the power thereof, even the earth upon which you stand. And the light which now shineth, giveth light, giveth you light, is through him who enlightens your eyes, which is the same light that quickeneth your understanding, which light proceedeth forth from the presence of God to fill the immensity of space. The light which is in all things, which giveth life to all things, which is the law by which all things are governed, even the power of God who sitteth upon his throne, who is in the bosom of eternity, who is in the midst of all things. Now verily I say unto you, that through the redemption which is made for you, is brought to pass the resurrection from the dead, and the spirit and the body is the soul of man. And the resurrection from the dead is the redemption of the soul, and the redemption of the soul is through him who quickeneth all things, in whose bosom it is indeed and decreed that the poor and the meek of the earth shall inherit it. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning, about the poor and the meek and the rich. But it is the meek. You may be rich and still be meek. You can be poor and you can be meek. But it is all in our understanding and our willingness to do those things which our Lord and God has given unto us to do. And we finish up in 85:4c. Therefore, it must needs be sanctified from all unrighteousness, that it may be prepared for the celestial glory. For after it hath filled the measure of its creation, it shall be crowned with glory, even with the presence of God the Father. This time I would like to read, I guess it's a poem. I've read it before, here a couple years ago. And it's basically a message. Message that of what our Father in heaven may be thinking. God wants us to come unto him of our own free will. He's not forcing us to, but it is up to you and I to make that decision. My child, and before I continue, I'd like to say, listen to the words. My child, you may not know me. I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you are made in my image. In me, you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who do not know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am a complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. My plans for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love, my thoughts toward you are countless as the sands on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. For you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desire of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. If you receive the gift of my Son, Jesus, you received me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I will throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love your Father, Almighty God. He is there waiting for us. He knows each and every one of you. He knows our possibilities and our potentials. If it's something that we are scared to do, keep doing it. Until it becomes a little easier. Especially if you're doing it in the name of the Lord and for His work and for His kingdom. Thank you.
Shall we turn our hymnals to 418 for the and Farron Brooker will bring our closing prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Spirit that was with us today. We thank you for helping Jared and Larry and giving them the courage and the words that they have brought to us. We pray that you'll continue to be with each and every one of us as we travel home to be with our families. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.